You've seen him on Fox and Friends and Oprah and all kinds of places. He's a wonderful friend and an incredible speaker. Would you please welcome back to Church on the Beach, Kevin Lehman.
Thank you, handsome one. I appreciate the security measures. A lot of chicks rush the stage when I'm speaking. Of course, most of them are in walkers, and so it's interesting. Yeah, well, authors always have things to say about their books. And I do have a new book out called A Perfect Ambition. And it's a fiction series. So those of you who like fiction, the first book is, guess what, about a very wealthy firstborn whose father said, we've never had a Worthington in the White House. For you Canadians, I'm referring to the U.S. presidency. The second book is about the middle child, which comes out in March, and the third book is about the youngest, who happens to be a female, and her name is Sarah. It's my first real attempt at fiction. I did it with a fellow who was in the White House, who was in the first Bush administration. So that's been an interesting ride for me. So those books are out. And by the way, Bill Hine back there at the book table, he's got my books back there. They're $10 and $15. You can save money on every one of them. That's sort of nice. There's not a loser in the bunch. They're all books that help you live life just a little better. With the Lord's help. I want to say one thing about Church on the Beach, Bill and Diane Hine, and the chiseled one here, and his bride, Mary, and they have relatives and friends that help put this together. We're here every Sunday through September 6th, and my hat's off to you guys who braved the elements today. I live in Tucson where it rains once in a great while, but to give you an idea, it's 107 degrees there today. So we love these kind of days, and I know when you have too many rainy days, I grew up in Buffalo area, I know what that's like. So forgive me for applauding the rain a little bit. Also, a reminder, we do a Wit and Wisdom Cruise, February 21 through 28th. If you guys have a February, next February, like you did this February, you'll want to be on the cruise. They call it the Wit and Wisdom Cruise. I call it Sex on the Boat. But either way, it's a fun adventure down to the Caribbean. I've got with me Dr. Tim Kimmel, who is an author and a wonderful speaker, and also Dennis Swanberg, who is the funniest man alive. He does impressions of Billy Graham, better than Billy Graham ever did. He does Bill Clinton better than Clinton ever did. He is one funny, hilarious person who puts me on my backside laughing. So other than that, I've got another book, one more book, and then we'll get to the talk this morning about life. And that comes out in the fall, in October to be exact, called Planet Middle School. Now, other authors call me for advice on what to name their books. I love titles of books. And I think Planet Middle School is probably one of the best ones I ever shook loose, because if you've been around a middle schooler, all of a sudden this alien shows up in your home, and there's this metamorphosis happens before your very eyes. And today what's happening with that middle school age kid in the U.S. and Canada is unbelievable. And when I say unbelievable, I'm not talking about good things. I'm talking about very bad things are happening to that population. So try to make sense to parents on that tough topic. Our topic this morning is I call Got Wisdom, and it's based upon a little book, and I've talked to you about this book before. It's a wonderful little book, if I may say so, called The Way of the Wise. What makes it wonderful is based upon what King Solomon said over in Proverbs 3, and he was able to take about 10 great principles for great living, successful living, and packing them into 6 little verses, and a couple of these verses will be very familiar to you. Let me give you the scripture. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, what was sort of cool for me is, as a kid growing up in Williamsville, New York, we were a family that didn't have much money for many years. We didn't have a car. When I was a little boy, we had my father's delivery truck that he used to deliver dry cleaning in. I remember driving with him, and I'd sit on laundry bags in the passenger seat. There was no such thing as a seatbelt, by the way, in those days. And so we grow up poor. We were poor. But my mom was the real rock of our family, and she loved Jesus. And she dragged us three kids to church, and we'd bum rides with other families to church. And, of course, our church was conveniently located about 12 miles away. So Sunday and going to church was never a thing that I ever enjoyed. I learned all the Bible stories, okay? I grew up in the church, and God to me was some far-off entity. Did I believe in God? Yeah, I guess I did. But God sure wasn't real to me in any way, shape, or form. But it's interesting how God works in your life, because I was the youngest of three children. My older sister, Sally, ended up being an associate pastor in a church. I mean, the woman's a perfectionist, a firstborn, does everything right. You come to her home, and you're greeted by the clear vinyl runner in her home. It's a very warm feeling. Just stay on the clear vinyl runner, you know? This is a woman who puts newspaper under the cuckoo clock. Okay? You got the picture? She's just a little over the top. And then I had a brother, and I still remember wearing my brother's number 12 football jersey to school, and I felt like Samson. He was 5.5 years older than I was. And in fact, in high school, my nickname for him was God. And I'd say, God's home, and he'd come over and just pound me. Okay? Those of you who are little brothers know what that one's all about. Well, anyway, Sally, my older sister, was a straight-A student. Never got a B in her life in anything. My brother was nearly straight-A, okay? And then there was me. And I graduated fourth in my class, but it was fourth in the bottom. And some of you have heard this story, but it's true. And I had ACT scores that were at the zero percentile. That means 100% of the people who took that test nationally did better than I did. I'll tell you how you get zero percentile. You go to the University of Buffalo, you take the test, you find out you can smoke in the classroom, which I was very impressed with. You could smoke cigarettes in the classroom. What could be better than that? So I smoked my Salem cigarettes. I answered a few questions and said, you know what? I have better things to do than this. I'm going to go watch a football game. And that's how you get zero percentile. So I was one of those guys that was just sort of written off in life, but not by my mom. My mom prayed for me every day of my life. And so I finally got into college, got thrown out of college. I'm trying to shorten this after a year. Came to Tucson, got a job as a janitor in a hospital. Does God work in mysterious ways? I'm here to tell you he does. And I met my bride to be in the men's restroom of a hospital. I was a janitor, swabbing down the floor. She came in with a guy, a little old man, helping him go piddle. And our eyes met, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that's that woman I saw in a hall the other day. And I was like a rabbit in the road with a headlights on. I didn't move left or right. I just stood there, and I said, oh, that's her. Say something stupid. So the first thing I ever said to my wife was, would you like to go to the World's Fair with me? Well, the year was 1964. The World's Fair was in a place called New York City. This is Tucson, Arizona. I'm making $195 a month full-time. Would you like to go to New York with me? Yeah, right. And so she was always the smarter of the two of us, and she said, well, I don't know. And I said, how about lunch then? And we went to a McDonald's and split a 20-cent cheeseburger and a 10-cent Coke. And I'm telling you, this woman, I mean, I fell like a ton of bricks. I mean, within days, I was walking down the street like I was walking on clouds. I mean, I was in love. And when I met her, I was smoking my Salems. I had the greasy hair going on. It's the early 60s, you know. And she pops the question after about 3.5 months. She says, would you like to go to church with me? And I remember thinking, holy cow, she's one of them. Well, what do you say, gentlemen, to this woman who asks you to go to church? And you don't want to go. That's the last thing I want to do is go to church. You lie through your teeth. And you say, oh, I just love to go to church with you. I remember sitting in her church. She was a Baptist. Got a lot of rules in her church. And I remember thinking, no chick is worth this. And then she wanted me to come back at night. Why would you go back at night? You didn't do it right the first time? But see, that was the appointed hour for me to come to learn who Jesus Christ really was. And that pastor was talking about the guy who knew who he was in his head, but he didn't know who he was in his heart. Well, humor me for a second. Point to yourself. Just point to yourself right now, would you? Where do you point to? You point to your heart. And see, what Solomon says, I don't know if you realize it or not, but in that little passage, we hear the heart mentioned three times. It's all about the heart. I was talking to a mom last night about her daughter. And daughter's got a new boyfriend. And the first thing mom said was what? I think he's got a good what? Heart. And see, the heart is what this whole thing is all about. And when you understand the connection, a lot of people know God is this, you know, this far-off creature. And yet, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've come to that point in your life, you can be talking to the creator of the universe as you're driving down the Queen E or you're on the interstate. If that's not an awesome thought, I don't know what is. You can talk to the creator of the universe. I had this thought this week that God, when he created the earth, notice he put natural gas under the earth. Notice he put oil under the earth. He could have had a lake. It could have been lake oil right here. Lake Erie could be lake oil, where we get all of our oil right there. But he put it underground. He knew exactly what he was doing. And his scripture says he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows when the sparrow falls. And we can have this intimate relationship with him if we understand what true Christianity is all about. And it's not following a set of rules. We have a lot of people who love rules. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. I'm always telling parents that. You can't bring up kids with just a set of rules. You can't run a business with just a set of rules. It's about that dynamic relationship you can have with the creator of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ. And just so like I did that night, I walked out of that church feeling clean for the first time. Went back to the university. I'd taken two courses. In fact, I should tell you the truth, shouldn't I? The same course twice. And I flunked it both times. And after I became a believer, God gave me motivation, went back to school full-time, worked full-time, and got on the dean's list. Well, I was on a lot of dean's lists in my life, but never a good dean's list. And so what God's able to do now, and I should tell you this too, we're starting a school in Tucson, Arizona called Lehman Academy of Excellence. It's a charter school, a classical school, where excuses aren't accepted from you, the parent, or the kid, where high expectations are on kids. We're going to put them all over the U.S., and I'm naive enough or stupid enough to think we can make a dent in American education today because we're not doing a very good job. So God is able to take this person who is going nowhere in life and make him productive and let him help other people. Because, see, you're not here today without someone else's help. When you see a turtle on a fence post, I got news for you, folks. He didn't get there by himself. Somebody helped him along the way. And somebody interceded on your part. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody had the mind of God in their heart who prayed that you would come to that understanding. And once that thing comes into your life, the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, your life changes just as mine did. And you never look back. And that's the fun part about being a Christian. So moving from head knowledge, a lot of people have head knowledge. The heart knowledge is the key. My friend Chuck Swindoll, I love this story. I probably shared it with you one other time or more. But it's one of my favorites because he visited a 7th grade Sunday school class, 12-year-old boys. Now, if you want a group to work with, 12-year-old boys are interesting. And he said, boys, what's green and says ribbit? Well, nobody said a word. He said, come on, boys, what's green and says ribbit? One kid finally ponied up. He said, well, I think it's a frog, but I'll say Jesus. Well, and that's some people's thinking. We're in church, the answer's got to be Jesus. No, the answer is a frog, okay? And so there's a misconnection here, and you have to have that connection where? In your heart. I was tucking in our little granddaughter, Adeline, who was about 6 at the time, and she had just lost a tooth. Now, by the way, grandmas and grandpas tuck grandchildren in differently. Grandma takes about an hour and 25 minutes to tuck her in. I take about 3.5 minutes, okay? And I was trying to hurry along, as I usually like to do when I'm tucking in the granddaughter. And just before I was about to leave her, she says, Grampy, what's the tooth fairy look like? Tooth fairy? What's the Tooth Fairy look like? Adeline, what is the question, honey? I mean, I'm scrambling like an NFL quarterback on a Sunday afternoon. She's asked the question, what does the Tooth Fairy look like? And I'm going to come up with an answer. And all of a sudden it hit me. Ah, like Tinkerbell. Just like Tinkerbell. You know what she said? She said, thank you, Grampy. I love you, Grampy. Good night, Grampy. And she was gone. She didn't say, I don't believe you. That's a lie. You know, an angel came to Mary and said, Mary, and Mary was probably about 15 years old, theologians tell us. And the angel came to Mary and said, maybe you're going to have a baby. 15 years old, a virgin. What does she say? She says, let everything you say happen just as you said it. Now, see, that's that childlike faith. And to be a believer today, you need to have that childlike faith. Okay? And you believe God in what? All things. And he never leaves your side. So we are thankful for circumstances that aren't great. We're going to give the glory to God for everything that happens to us, good and bad in life. One of the things I've had fun with over the years is sharing this fact that in studying God's word, especially the New Testament, you run into these people that are the disciples. And I always say they're the dumbest 12 people you could ever find. And one of my friends who's in our audience today reminded me, hey, don't be too rough on these 12 guys. You got to remember Jesus picked them, and that's a good point. But I'll tell you, they were the people who walked and talked with Jesus. They saw him perform miracles before their very eyes. I got news for you. They didn't measure up. They failed. In fact, in John 14, we have this great account where Jesus knows the sands of time is rushing by. He's got to get on that cross, okay? And by the way, did he want to get on that cross? No. Remember this, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. That's a tough combination. Only happened to one person in life, and that was Jesus Christ. So there he is. He's talking to everybody. He says, hey, listen, fellas, listen up. I'm out of here. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going. And I love this scripture because Thomas steps up to the plate, and Thomas reminds me of Kevin Lehman just because he's so stupid. And he comes up. He says, Lord, we don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. And then you talk about Dumb and Dumber. Did you ever waste your time watching Dumb and Dumber? It's sort of a funny movie. But Dumb and Dumber, then comes Philip. And Philip says, yeah, good point. Show us the Father, and then we'll know. And Jesus says to Philip, what? Philip, after all this time you've been with me, you don't know who I am. If you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. You ever feel like you don't measure up? St. Paul called himself wretched. If he's wretched, what are you? What am I? You understand? See, so understanding how imperfect you are, when you understand how crummy and imperfect you are, then and only then, in my opinion, can you really service God. Now, you women, I mean, you're interesting people. You're weirder than weird, but you're interesting, okay? You hug anything that moves. You kiss each other and you miss. Let me point out, you miss. Nice to see you, too. I love your hair and your shoes. They're adorable. You women are so weird. And I love to study you. You're so different. And women are like hunting dogs. When I was a kid, I used to hunt pheasants out on Casey Road in East Amherst. It was just farmland there. And I had a friend who had a German shorthair dog. You ever watch a German shorthair work a field for a pheasant? They run up and down that field, and all of a sudden, they smell the pheasant, the scent. And what will that hunting dog do? They freeze. And that front paw comes up. That tail goes out straight, that nose, that dog doesn't move a muscle. He just holds the point, as they say. Well, women are the same way. Women can come to a full point. Sometimes when they're shopping, oh, 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 look at that. Oh, that is adorable. Oh, I'm going to get it. Oh, they got two. I'm going to get, those are going to look so good in my family room. Or they run into their girlfriend who just got a hairdo. This is one of my favorites. Oh, I love your hair. Which is a cue for the woman to say, well, oh, don't even mention my hair. I want it layered and feathered and look like this. She showed her a picture and, you know, go on and on. Well, anyway, I digress. Mrs. Uppington, my bride, we're out to dinner one night on a Friday night. And all of a sudden, she comes to a full point at dinner. And she goes, oh, leave me. Tomorrow's Saturday. Yes, honey, it goes Friday and then Saturday. Oh, leave me, listen. Oh, tomorrow morning, Oh, how am I? Why did I sign up for that? She signed up to help a church to decorate for a thing they're having for the women. And my wife is not a morning person, okay? She just isn't. Twice in 40-some years of marriage, she has been up before me, okay, to give you an idea. But anyway, here's the problem. She's got to go decorate, but she's got friends coming to our home for dinner that night. And this is a woman who makes things from scratch. Store-bought cookies are Satan's cookies. They are to be avoided at all costs. And her problem is she can't make dessert and pull off this dinner because she's going to be gone half the day out decorating a church. So she says to me, Leamy, listen to me. This is very important. You need to go over to Marie Callender's Pie Shop. And I want you to get one pumpkin pie and one lemon meringue pie. That's one pumpkin pie and one lemon meringue pie. Now, let me point out to you, she's talking to me like I'm a four-year-old. I went to college 13 years. I think I can retain one pumpkin and one lemon meringue overnight. Well, the next morning, I get up, and she's gone, and I walk out in the kitchen. I don't make these things up. There's a 3x5 card propped up, and it says, I love you and miss you already. Now, let me point out to you that is a barefaced lie. She says, don't forget the pies. So I love football, and this out west, football in October starts at 9 o'clock out west. So I get up, and I say, you know what? I'm going to go get those stupid pies. So I go to the store, walk in, big sign greets me, October special, pumpkin pie, regularly $10.99, $4.99. What do you do? Two pumpkin pie, one lemon meringue. So I bring home the three pies. I'm there by myself. You ever talk to yourself? How many of you talk to yourself? Come on. Yeah, we all do. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go get me a piece of pumpkin pie. So I go out, cut myself a big old piece of pumpkin pie. Ladies, listen to this. No plate, no fork, en la mano, como este. I just wolf that sucker down. And then I said to myself, that's stupid. That is stupid. You ought to savor a piece of pumpkin pie. So I go out, cut myself another piece of pumpkin pie. This time I put it on a paper plate and put some Ready Rip that I found in the refrigerator on it. Sat down, had a cup of coffee, and I savored the pumpkin pie. And then at commercial break, I made the mistake of bringing the pie into the family room. And I just brought a little regular knife, you know, just to... And you ever do the little sliver on a piece of pie? I'm just going to take a little sliver. Whoomp. Then another little sliver. Whoomp, whoomp, whoomp. I mean, they're like popcorn shrimp. And all of a sudden, I look down, and there's a measly small little piece of pumpkin pie left. Well, she's going to be home in an hour and a half. I'm the only one home. What do? You eat the evidence. I ate the whole pumpkin pie. And I took the tinfoil thing that came in, and I put it in the garbage compactor. I shredded the receipt, covered it with newspapers, covered my tracks as best I can. Hour and a half on schedule, she comes home. I hear her out in the kitchen. She says, oh, honey, thank you for getting me the pies. You're so nice, blah, 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 blah. And she's making herself a pot of coffee, and she turns around, hangs her pretty little face around the corner. She says, Leamy, she said, honey, would you like just a little piece of pumpkin pie? Now, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there like a bullfrog on the side of a pond. I can hardly move. And I looked at her, I said, just to show you, I said, honey, no, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be good. Well, that's my imperfection. What's yours? What I'm here to tell you is all of us have this built-in imperfection. And the scripture says, and then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man, Proverbs 3:4. Well, again, who believed in you? John Wooden, the great basketball coach at UCLA, won 10 national championships. And I found this interesting in surveying his life, that he never told his team to go out and win. Well, how do you win 10 national championships and never tell your team to win? You know what he told them? He told them to play the game of basketball the way it should be played. And I'd share that with you this morning, friend, fellow believer. You know what? Just live life the way it needs to be lived. Are you going to live it perfectly? No. You know the sin you're going to commit next week? Here's a late-breaking news. The sin you're going to commit next week or this afternoon, it's already forgiven. It's already forgiven. See, Jesus came to this earth to put an end to religion, not to start a religion, to put an end to religion. It's not the rules. It's what? It's the relationship with him that makes all the difference in the world. John Wooden said, talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be careful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. Wow. My favorite little chapter in this book is entitled, You're the Potter, I'm the Clay, but I do have a few suggestions. And I think that's what many of us struggle with this morning. We have a great idea about how life ought to be, about how we ought to be, you know? And so, Lord, you're the potter, I'm the clay, you know? Use me, mold me. I'm yours, all 94%. And what gets you and I into trouble is what? That 6% we want to hang on to. You want control over your finances. By the way, if you look at your checkbook, you'll have a very good indication of what your faith is really all about. Christian people need to be givers. We have so many takers in the world. Those of you who work in the service industry, you service other people. You live on tips. I've asked waitresses, what's your least favorite day to work? And they'll tell you Sunday, and not because it's Sunday, because all the Christians show up and leave the dollar behind. You know, being generous, you can't outgive God. And so being that natural tither, seeing a situation where you can help and do something, that's where God would just pour out his bounty upon you over and over and over again. And when you understand that, then you really do understand that it really is more blessed to give than receive. When my high school, you know, when you get near death like I am, they start giving you awards, and they gave me honorary doctorate degrees. The University of Arizona gave me the highest award they can give to one of their own, which is called the Alumni Achievement Award. I mean, the person who started Sesame Street and astronauts get awards like that at our school, and I got one. And I'm proud of the fact that they acknowledged that the Lehman boy did a few things in life. But of all those little awards and proclamations and things you get thrown your way, my favorite of all was when my high school invited me back to put me on their wall of fame. And they had a ceremony at the school, and my mother, God rest her soul, lived to be 95 years of age, okay? And so she got to see some things her youngest son did in life. And I drove her up from Jamestown, New York. She lived in a Lutheran center there, up to Williamsville, which is about an hour and a half drive. But it was one of the most enjoyable hour and a halves I ever had with my mom. And our conversation went like this. Mom, this is so cool, isn't it, that the school has given me this thing? And she, oh, honey, she says, I am just so proud of you. And she just went off and just was just heaping it on pretty hard. And I said, well, Mom, do you remember the night the cops brought me home? The Amherst police brought me home one night. And she said, oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. I said, do you remember the night I got caught driving golf balls toward the New York State Thruway by the state troopers? She said, oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. And the pumpkins off the viaducts, oh, but you were such a good boy. And all she came back with, you were such a good boy. And all I could think of was Romans 8:39 that says, nothing separates you from the love of Christ. And that's how a mother loves her kid. And that's how Jesus loves you and I. He loves us unconditionally. He knows how imperfect you are. When you pray to God, do you pray from your ideal self or your real self? Now, here's the psychologist in me, okay? We all have this ideal self, and we have the real self. Oh, Lord, make me this. Oh, Lord, make me that. There's the ideal self. Lord, you know I have a problem with this. You know I have a problem with that. There's a big difference. And the irony is that God knows what? He knows our real heart. You don't fool Almighty God. He knows all of our thoughts and all of our feelings. What a God. Can you be a better Christian? That's a simple question, but it's a sucker question I'll ask you this morning. Can you be a better Christian? The answer is no. You can't be a better Christian. You either are a Christian or you're not. You either believe or you don't. In fact, Jesus' own words in the book of Revelation says this. He says, you know what? If you're lukewarm about me, I'm going to what? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I think it's cool. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, uses the term spit. Spit. That's how repugnant it is to God for someone who's lukewarm. So, do you love me, Jesus says? If you love me, you'll do what? You'll do what my word tells you to do. So, is it easy being a Christian? No, it's not easy being a Christian. being a Christian, does that inoculate you from everything in life? No. Does that mean that bad things aren't going to happen to you? No, it doesn't, you know. But it means that you have assurance of eternal life. That's the message this morning. They love this. He can be yours with a simple prayer of, Lord, I want you to come in my life. Let me just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, for this great group of people, the many hands that work every Sunday to hand carry things down here, to set up, to pray fervently that we will reach people for the kingdom through Church on the Beach. Lord, thank you for every family here represented. You know our hearts and our minds. I just ask that you'd pour your bounty out upon every person here. And Lord, if there's some here that need to make that statement of faith right now, make that huge jump and say, Lord, I've been doing things too long by myself, and I want to fork things over to you. May that happen, Lord, by way of your Holy Spirit right now. We thank you for loving us, Father, as you do. We give you the glory for this day and every day. In Jesus' holy name, amen.